KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
28 degrees here this morning at the KJAN studios. We look today for partly cloudy skies with south winds at 10 miles per hour and a high of 60. Tonight, partly cloudy, north winds at 10 miles per hour and a low of 37. Sunday, partly cloudy to cloudy with a high of 48. Good morning. I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in state and local news here on KJAN. The Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation says a $1,000 reward is now being offered for clues in the death of a Creston man. 45-year-old Paul Allen Scheel was found dead in his apartment on Valentine's Day in 2018, and an autopsy ruled his death was a homicide. DCI charge Adam DeCamp says the case remains unsolved.
So this is a reward being offered by Crime Stoppers, just trying to help bring closure to this case and answers in the death of Paul Scheel.
Other details of Scheel's death have not been released while the investigation continues. DeCamp says you can make an anonymous Crime Stoppers of Central Iowa.
We believe, obviously, that there is someone or someones out there that know exactly what happened, and we're hoping to get them to come forward and help bring resolution to this case.
DeCam says nothing is insignificant when it comes to trying to solve this case.
Any information that the public has will be beneficial, even if they believe that law enforcement has been told it by someone else. The assumption can get us into a lot of trouble in our lives, and the same with criminal investigations. And we just ask people to come forward and share the information they have and allow the law enforcement officials to determine whether or not the information is valid.
DeCamp says it's important in these types of cases to review all information as soon as possible.
So kind of one of the things that goes with homicide investigations is the first 48 hours. If it's not solved within that 48 hours, it can be cut by up to 50% your chances of closing it at any time. And then as the time goes on, days and weeks and months into years, that number continues to go down dramatically. But we believe in this case that there is someone out there that has information that would be helpful in bringing a resolution to this case.
You can give officers information anonymously by going to Crime Stoppers of Central Iowa's website, crimestoppersofcentraliowa.com. You can also download the P3 app to submit a tip or call 515-223-1400. Page County Sheriff Lyle Palmer reports a physical search for a missing rural Clarinda man suffering from dementia was officially suspended Thursday afternoon. 68-year-old Dale Allen Hotwalker is still missing. He was last seen Tuesday morning. He's described as a 6-foot-tall, 140-pound male with gray hair and a gray beard and blue eyes. He was last seen wearing a blue or gray T-shirt, gray and black pajama pants, and white socks. Family members say in addition to dementia, the man walks with a severe limp, cannot speak, and is hard of hearing. They say he left the residence without shoes or a coat. Sheriff Palmer says a physical search was suspended after conferring with Hotwalker's family, area landowners and farmers, medical personnel, members of the search teams, legal staff, and law enforcement. He also said the Page County Sheriff's Office wishes to thank everyone involved in searching for Hotwalker. The decision to suspend the physical search was done only after every possible resource had been used. Anyone with information about Hotwalker or his whereabouts is asked to contact Page County Sheriff's Office, 712-542-5193. Any and all leads will be followed up on immediately. Today is another chance for you to get rid of your unused medication. West Des Moines Police Chief Chris Scott says you should use the National Drug Take Back Day as an opportunity to dispose of leftover medications so they don't become a source of addiction.
Prescription drugs in our medicine cabinets are a huge deal that can lead to addiction that lasts a life and in many cases cut lives short.
The director of the Governor's Office of Drug Control Policy, Dale Woolery, says this is a safe way to get rid of unused prescription drugs, opioids that can become addictive.
People who are addicted to prescription opioids are 40 times more likely to become addicted to heroin or to fentanyl.
And e-cigarettes and vaping devices also can be dropped off along with prescription drugs. Although the lithium-ion battery should be removed from the devices before you drop them off, the take-back event will last from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at more than 100 pharmacies and police stations across the state. Woolery says there are also more than 300 boxes stationed around the state where medicine can be disposed of year-round. Cass County Emergency Management Coordinator Mike Kinnon reports a culvert replacement project on County Road G35, 4.5 miles south of Anita and just north of the intersection of Jackson Road and 740th Street, will require closing the roadway to traffic beginning on Monday, October 28th. Detour signs will be posted by the Cass County Secondary Roads Department, and the project is expected to last about a month. A press release notification will be issued when that roadway is back open. The City of Audubon is advising residents that Building Crafts Incorporated from Red Oak will be installing new water meters in your residence. They'll need to clear access to your current water meter, and water service will be temporarily shut off during the installation, which takes about 20 to 30 minutes. Crews will be wearing identification so that you can verify the employee is with Building Crafts Incorporated. The city says that they thank you in advance for your cooperation in that matter. Police and Council Bluffs were called to the Quick Shop convenience store at 3632 Avenue G a little after 4 a.m. Friday with regard to a robbery. Upon officers' arrival, they made contact with an employee who said an unknown black male entered the store and took him at gunpoint. The employee stated the suspect was wearing a black coat, black pants, black face mask, and black gloves. The employee said also the suspect forced him over to the cash register and had him open the drawer. The employee handed the suspect an undetermined amount of cash. The suspect also grabbed an unknown amount of cigarettes from the shelf and placed them in a bag. He then left the store without incident. It's an ongoing investigation, and if anyone has information with regard to the crime, you can call Council Bluffs Crime Stoppers at 712-328-7867. The Iowa Department of Transportation is raising some sections of Interstate 29 north of Council Bluffs to keep traffic moving even when the Missouri River floods. Since I-29 is in the floodplain, Austin Yates with the Iowa DOT says there are some critical gaps in protection. Yates says raising parts near Honey Creek, Crescent, and Blackbird Marsh mean the river would have to rise even higher to force a shutdown.
We're not going to close bits and pieces of it and basically expect people to, you know, have to figure out what's closed, what's open.
Missouri River flooding shut down parts of I-29 in southwest Iowa four times this year. Some sections are being raised as much as 28 inches, which Yates says won't make it flood-proof, but water won't spill onto the road at such a low river level like it did just last month.
The March flood, if all this work had been done in March, we still would have had to close I-29, but we would not have had to close it like in September or in June, for example.
The DOT has awarded a contract to add 14 inches of asphalt to northbound I-29 from Honey Creek to Loveland. More than 2 feet will be added in both directions near Blackbird Marsh. Work on the $3.3 million contract is expected to be done by December 1st. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is working to release stored floodwaters in the upper Missouri River Basin to reduce the chances of flooding next spring. The Corps has about 2.5 months to get rid of a little more than 5 million acre-feet of water from flood control reservoirs. The Corps' John Remus says that's doable with the amount of water they're releasing from Gavin's Point Dam in South Dakota.
Our runoff forecast coupled with our reservoir studies say that if we maintain the 80,000 cubic feet per second out of Gavin's Point and the associated releases out of Fort Peck, Garrison, and Oahe, that we will reach that goal of 56.1 million. Storage by the next year's runoff season.
It's been a wet year for the basin, and Remus says if there's a lot more rain and the Corps can't evacuate enough storage, that could increase flood risk for everyone from Bismarck, North Dakota to St. Louis. National Weather Service hydrologist Mike Gillespie says there's still a lot of uncertainty about flooding next spring. Right now, the soil is very wet and smaller lakes and ponds are full. Gillespie says it's like putting a wet sponge in a freezer.
You'd start dumping water on top of that, all of that water's going to run off. So we just don't have that storage in either the soils or in the ponds and lakes and streams and rivers that we're starting at such a high level. It's not going to take as much precipitation to start causing problems in the spring.
He says the odds are slightly higher that the basin will see above normal amounts of rain and snow through most of the winter. The Missouri River Basin above Sioux City is predicted to tie for the highest amount of runoff in a single year in 121 years. That's a look at some of the latest in news. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements here this morning. George Doerr, age 94, of Stewart, died Tuesday at the Stewart Community Care Center. Funeral services for George Doerr will be held today at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Carl Wayne Jensen, age 82, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Funeral services for Wayne Jensen will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the United Church of Christ in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home Atlantic has arrangements. Dale Lynn Miller, age 71, of Republic, Missouri, died October 18th. Funeral services for Dale Miller will be held Saturday at 2 p.m. at the Holly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Ted Nielsen, age 77, of Avoca, died October 15th at Virtue Medical Center in Harlan. Graveside services for Ted Nielsen will be held on Saturday here today at 2 p.m. in the Shelby Cemetery. Polly Jones Funeral Home Avoca has arrangements. Richard David Fennell, age 59, of Fort Worth, Texas, died September 29th. A family remembrance for and burial for Richard David Fennell will be held today at 3 p.m. at the Wyrick Cemetery. Willis Ray Mason, age 90, of Walnut, died October 15th at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. A visitation with family of Willis Ray Mason will be held today from 4 to 7 p.m. at Polly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Helen M. Flathers, age 90, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at Atlantic Specialty Care. A memorial service for Helen Flathers will be held on Monday at 2 p.m. at Atlantic Specialty Care. John McFarlane, age 62, of Greenfield, died Thursday at the Iowa Lutheran Hospital in Des Moines. A celebration of life gathering for John McFarlane will be held on November 2nd from 2 to 5 p.m. at the Hotel Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Alberta Becker, age 93, of Cumberland, died Wednesday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. A celebration of life funeral service for Alberta Becker will be held November 4th at 11 a.m. at Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Floyd Pierce, age 92, formerly of Cumberland, died Tuesday at the Salem Lutheran Homes in Elkhorn. Services for Floyd Pierce are pending for a later date. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic is in charge of the arrangements. That's a look at the latest in news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.